While the state constitution authorizes one state Supreme Court judgeship for each increment of 50,000 residents in a judicial district, the full allotment of judges permitted has not been implemented in recent years due to population growth and changes. But a new state law, which takes effect immediately, will change this dynamic as it will add judgeships in districts that have less than the full allotment of judges permitted by the state constitution's formula. To explain the ramifications of this new law, we're joined by the New York Law Journal's Ryan Tarinelli. Welcome back to the show, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
So how many judgeships are going to be created, and are any areas getting a particularly big influx of new judges, or will they be generally spread evenly around the state?
Basically, there are going to be 14 new state Supreme Court seats this next coming general election. So they, when voters go to the ballot, they're going to have 14 new seats. They really are spread out pretty evenly across the state. There are only a few that are getting two of these seats, but most of them are only getting one.
Well, it's interesting to hear that this is going to be on the ballot in November, because anyone who's following elections at all in New York is probably aware that we had our primaries this at the end of June. So how are we going to get candidates for all of these judgeships?
It's a really, really interesting system.
Well, I'll be the judge of that, Ryan.
I find it really interesting, at least. It's a little more of a, it's not, state Supreme Court seats don't have open primaries, don't have primaries in general, actually. The way that they are elected is this really, really specific process. Essentially, what happens is the state Supreme, there are these judicial nominating conventions where judicial delegates from within side of a party will go and meet. It's usually at the later end of the summertime, and they all meet and they get together and say, these are the people who we want to run under our line on in the general election. And so the Republicans will have their judicial nominating convention, the Democrats will have their judicial nominating convention, and that vote of the judicial delegates that are selected for that convention, that vote that they happens at the convention is how they are elevated to get on the ballot. So it's much more kind of an insulated process.
Yeah.
and
is there literally smoke-filled rooms, or are they just closed-door rooms?
I think they're, it's mostly just closed-door at this point.
Yeah.
And it's tough to find out when they're happening. Or not tough to find out, but it's not well advertised. And it's not something that really the average voter is going to have any clue about. But these positions are super important. They are elected state Supreme Court judges, meaning that they can go to the appellate division. These are often viewed as sometimes the pinnacle of a person's legal career. These are positions that hold wide authority, can be deciding major, major cases across the state. And so it's really, we're not talking about town and village judges. They have a very important role, but these are serious, serious seats that can have impacts.
So as I mentioned at the top, the impetus for this is the state constitution formula, which figures out how many judges there should be. But what about, I guess, the actual reality of the demand on the ground for these judges? Are we seeing within the state Supreme Courts, which represent the lowest level in our state court system, a backlog in cases? Are they overwhelmed with cases right now? I guess what I'm saying, is there a need for these additional judges?
You know, I think the judiciary is always saying that they want more judges. Certainly, there's going to be a wave of new cases coming after the pandemic when trials start to ramp up in earnest, when, you know, whatever is going to happen with the anti-eviction measures that are going to expire eventually. So there always is a sign of, you know, the judiciary is not going to complain about more. However, they did come out with a statement following this legislation to saying, you know, it would have been nicer to have more family or housing court judges, more specified judges, and judges that are not state Supreme Court judges, which is a little bit interesting considering that they are getting 14 new positions, and they're not cheap, you know, come with them.
I'm glad you mentioned the cheap issue, because according to the bill memorandum, adding these new judges plus their staff and administrative expenses is going to cost more than $14 million per year. Considering that you and I have talked in the past about the financial constraints of the judiciary and the penny pinching they've had to do in the past. Do you think the court will have a tough time absorbing these costs?
You know, I think that just remains to be seen. You also have to remember that it is a really large budget. I believe in total, it's multiple billions of dollars, mm-hmm. and I believe over $3 billion. So to the extent that they can find wiggle room, I think they'll probably find that. But to get back to, so I think they'll be able to find wiggle room within their budget. Overall, though, this is a significant expansion for them. I believe Staten Island's getting 2, which is Richmond County. I think that's the 13th Judicial District. And that these are going to be major, major players, basically major, major seats that are going to be opening up. This is, yeah.
Okay. Well, then pivoting to a bill that has not been signed by the governor, but has to do with some of these judgeships, is legislation that would overhaul the certification process, the waiver process for judges who turn 70 and are essentially required by the state constitution to retire, but can get an exemption to keep serving, something that got a lot of attention in the fall when these judges, I think about more than 40, were told, no, we're not giving a waiver, which is kind of a matter of course in the past. What has the legislature envisioned for this process moving forward, which for the most part exists solely within the discretion of Chief Judge Janet DeFiore?
Yeah, well, essentially the legislature says, we want to curb their ability to recertify these older judges, essentially. The legislature did not like what went on last year, where so many of these judges were laid off. They're really looking, it's a one-word change in a bill, but that one-word change can have a lot of meaning. And really, it's going from a they may to shall, and that one-word change essentially strips the Chief Judge DeFiore and a lot of these top administrators of a lot of authority to be able to decide which older judges come back and which do and which don't. This is really an extension of this bitter, bitter battle that's been occurring within the court system ever since that austerity measure was announced last year. This is really seen in the strain. It's almost the natural progression of judges hitting back, lawmakers not liking this decision, hitting back on the Chief Judge Janet DeFiore's authority in this power dynamic. The big question now is, does Governor Cuomo sign this bill, or does he side with the court system and Chief Judge DeFiore, who is consistently a strong political ally of his? So it's really going to be interesting about whether or not where he sides on this.
What do you think he'll do? Do you think he'll sign it?
I think it's up in the air right now.
Make a prediction.
Oh, gosh.
What do you think?
Gosh.
I mean, you just laid it out. That's his ally, Janet DeFiore. Why would he want to go against her and side with the legislature? Some of these jokers have asked for him to resign. Come on.
I think the only thing that might give him pause is that there was so much support in the legislature mm-hmm. for it, and that they held a hearing. It was very high profile. This might not be something that he sees as worth the effort, right? Does he want to invoke more bad comments and basically more bitterness and more hard feelings in the judiciary? Does he care about that? And I think that's the question that he's going to face himself is, do I want to poke the judges even further by vetoing this legislation that was very easily passed within the legislature to side with my political ally who, you know, I'm very close with?
Well, speaking of those 40-plus judges, the septuagenarians, any new developments on what's going on with them? I know there was some indication that they might be able to get their jobs back, but then there was also a push to send them to different courts. Any movement on that?
There's basically it's at a standstill now. Mm-hmm. You have about 20 who have returned to the bench. The real question now, there are 2 appellate judges who publicly challenged Cuomo publicly challenged Chief Judge DeFiore by suing her administration and challenging this austerity decision to get back to their original posts at the appellate level. Governor Cuomo will have to reappoint them. Mm-hmm. They're not simply reappointed, even though they are certificated. So right now they're at the trial level. On that level, it's one below the appellate division. There's a lot of eyes looking at what does the governor do in regards to these two judges who publicly challenged a key ally of his. How is he going to respond to that? On their side, on the appellate judges' side, they have a lot of support from former judges and some support from bar associations as well, saying, please, these judges are experienced. They are, you know, of necessity to the bench. Please reappoint them. Again, this is the same dynamic too with the certification bill, is how far does Governor Cuomo want to go in making hurt feelings within the judiciary? Or does he say, you know, I'm going to side with a political ally of mine, somebody who I've appointed this position? It's going to be really interesting to watch.
Well, we've been speaking with Ryan Tarinelli. He is the Capitol reporter for the New York Law Journal. Ryan, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.